I'm thankful that as you came to church, you brought your Bibles because we are Bible-believing Christians and we're going to use the Word of God again today. So as you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the 25th chapter, I want to go on record and say it's finally the time. It's no longer we're looking forward to the time, we're not looking forward to this hour, but the hour is now. And I am thankful and honored to be able to announce it. It is now time to sharpen our swords. You got your sword? Did you bring it? It's time to sharpen your sword. Even if you need to take it off and it's time to sharpen your sword. It's time to open it up. You see, we're living in a time of tremendous excitement. In fact, not only excitement, but very, very significant time. You and me, we are the people who are living at the 11th hour. We're living during that time. We are living, you and me, we're living in the final days of Earth's history. That's exciting. It's awesome. It is significant. We're living in Daniel 2's toenails of time. You're living in the toenails of time, you and me. That's where we're at. We're way down there in Daniel 2's image, in the toenails. And here, as we turn in our Bibles, written in the final events chapter, Matthew, the 25th chapter, 24 and 25, Jesus gives us a description of his church in the last days. You and me, his church, described right here. And we'll begin with this awesome parable, Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Follow as I read this scripture. Then the kingdom of heaven should be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. How many slumbered and slept? All. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out and meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. How many trimmed their lamps? All. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." The wise answered and say, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Now, as we look at this awesome parable, I love the parables of Jesus. Do you like the parables and stories of Jesus? They're more than just good stories. They have a message for us. And I want to say more about this parable in the future. But right now, I want us to go over to Matthew 24. Right next door, Matthew, the 24th chapter. And the very last part of Matthew 24, so some of you don't even have to turn a page. And look at verse 42. Jesus still speaking. He says basically the same thing as it said in Matthew 25, verse 13. Notice now verse 42. "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." Those of you that mark your Bibles, I would invite you to circle watch. Circle watch. Are you watching? Am I watching? Jesus explains what it means, if you're a watcher or not. We're going to find out if you or myself, if we are watchers or not. He explains. In fact, he identifies us as servants, if we're watching or not. Take a look now to verse 44 of Matthew 24. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." What does it mean to watch? Well, first of all, it means that we are to be what? To be ready. To be ready. As you circle
be ready. Circle that little phrase, be ready. I want you to note that Jesus here, and whenever he speaks of be ready, he never says get ready, he says be ready. He never says get ready, be ready. He's speaking to the church, he's speaking to you as Christian believers and to me. Be ready. And I would like to say that to be ready is not only to be alert and to be aware of what is happening all around us, the signs of the times, but to be ready foundationally means that you and I have said yes to Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you a watching servant? Then you will be ready, and I will be ready. We will have the assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ, and our faith in Christ will work by love. We will be ready. Notice Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? See, we're identified as servants. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food or meat in due season? Now, I want to ask you a question in the light of this verse, verse 46 or 45 especially. What does God give the faithful and the wise servants? What does he give them according to this verse? He gives them meat in due season. Now, some of you, as you study your Bibles, you remember in the book of Malachi, the third chapter, verse 10, it talks about giving of our offerings and our tithes. And that familiar verse, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be what? Meat in mine house. I would like to ask you to circle meat in verse 45. Circle meat. And I would like to suggest that that meat that we can have in due season that God is going to give us is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And so those of you that circled meat, put in your column or nearby, Word of God. In other words, if we tithe, if we set aside a tenth of our time, friends, of our time to seek God through His Word, you know what God is saying? He will bless us with power and strength and wisdom and guidance through the meat of His Word. Are you watching? If you're a watcher, then you are right with God. Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and your Lord, and you are in the Word of God, the meat of His Word. Now, look at verses 46 and 47. Blessed is the servant whom the master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. God is going to bless his servants. He promises that he will bless his servants if they are watching. If they are watching. There's a condition here. Those that are watching will be blessed. In fact, he says here in verse 46 that when Jesus comes, God's servants are going to be found doing. Found doing, circle doing. What are they going to be doing? What are they going to be doing? They're going to be in the meat of the Word. They're going to be in a state of readiness. God is going to find His people in that way when He comes. Now, with that in mind, we go on to verses 48 and 49. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. We'll stop there. Do you see what God is telling us here? In the church, there will be those who are watching, but also in the church, there will be those servants who do what? What does it say here in this verse? They will be beating or persecuting. And so persecution will not be just outside in the world, but persecution is going to happen within our midst, within our very midst. You see, when we honor the Lord, when we obey His counsel, in these last days of Earth's history, and we are in a state of readiness, and we are trusting in God's Word, then we will experience, yes, in our very midst, persecution from professed Christians in the church. That's what the Word of God is teaching. I remember those words of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. You remember them. Some of you reminded me often of them. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Now, look at verse 49 again. I'll read it again. And begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. In the last days of her history, in the church, there will be two kinds of people, two kinds of servants. One servant will be watching, and the other servant will be beating or persecuting. And they will be beating and persecuting other Christians within their midst. I ask you today again, which servant are you? Which servant are you? Now, verse 49 implies that these other servants will be eating and drinking with the drunkards. Now, what's the implication here about these servants? I would like to have you think about this, that in these other servants, I find it interesting that described in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a description of last day events, things that are going to be happening all around us. And I would like to suggest even in the church. And in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says this, there would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of what? God. And yet they will have a form of godliness, but not knowing the power thereof. You see, there are within the church, yes, within this church, within every church of God's last day church, in these last days, those who profess to love God, they have a form of godliness. They go to church. They serve in a church office. They're members in the church. But they love pleasure more than they really do love God. And they come across as godly, but they have no Holy Spirit's power. And the Bible goes on, Jesus speaking of an identification of his church in the last days, in verses 50 and 51. The master of the servant will come on that day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible implies that there is going to be within the church hypocrites in the last days. In other words, at the same time, God's church is going to be the faithful servants who will be watching. In other words, Jesus Christ, their righteousness by faith, they will be trusting in, and their faith will be a faith that works by love. And they will be filled with the Word of God. And yet, at the same time, there will be within the church those who will persecute other Christians. And that persecution will not just be necessarily physical persecution, but it will be an abuse of character, abuse of their reputation. And the Bible goes on in verse 51 and calls these servants, these other servants, hypocrites. And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 calls them lovers of pleasure more than God, who have a form of godliness, but no Holy Spirit's power. This is a word picture from Jesus himself of his church in the last days in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. And then we come to Matthew 25, where Jesus gives a parable, the parable of the what? The parable of the 10 virgins. And we remembered, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. And then we think back, well, okay, there's a contrast. We have 5 wise, 5 foolish. In Matthew chapter 24, the last part, we have the wise servants and we have the unwise servants. The wise servants are watching. The wise servants are ready. And I would like to suggest the servants and the 10 virgins were all looking for Jesus to come. Every one of them. Every last one of them profess Christians. They were both in God's last day church. You see, Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, is simply the building up or the continuation of Matthew chapter 24. And so my question to you today is this. What did these 10 virgins do when the final hour, when the midnight hour crisis happened? What did they start doing? They pulled out their lamps. And by the way, what's the lamp? What's the lamp a symbol of? The Bible. The Word of God. They pulled out their swords and they trimmed them up. But catch this. Only the wise received extra oil. Only the wise. The foolish did not receive it. And what I am saying today, my friends, is this. It's time to get that extra oil. It is time to get that extra oil. Now, most of us are aware, I think so, as you prepare for the weekend, you went down to the gas station and you're not very happy when you see the price of the gas and like that. This world, the economic world, we are experiencing an oil crisis. And would you also agree that the church today is experiencing an oil crisis? An oil crisis. The need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit now and each and every day. Amen? So that when God chooses, God's the one that's going to choose. When God chooses, He will bestow on us extra oil. Extra oil. And that extra oil is the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. The latter rain's power. You see, God wants us to have that extra oil of the Holy Spirit when we need it most. And so God is saying, yes, He wants us to be ready now. He wants us to be ready now. Yes, He wants us to be Word-filled Christians, because a Word-filled Christian, it will be a Spirit-filled Christian. And when the midnight hour crisis comes, friends, and we trim our lamps, all 10 virgins trim their lamps, and then we can be blessed with that extra oil of the Holy Spirit. If we have already been ready, and if we have already been in His Word, getting to know Jesus, getting to know His Word. Friends, the hour is here when Word-filled Christians need to be blessed with extra oil. God wants you and you and you and you. He wants you and you and you and you and me as well, yes, to be watching. He wants us to be watchful Christians. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be filled, to fill our lives with the Word of God. Jesus is coming. We've heard it in our Sabbath school lesson. We've heard it in the songs. Thank God for the theme today, the second coming to Christ. But there's something, you see, it's true that persecution, even within our very midst, will increase. We should not be surprised. It will heighten just before Jesus comes. And I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. And keep going in spite of it. Keep going in spite of it. And to be ready for that extra oil when God bestows it. Do you know what it is that's going to keep us going? I'll tell you what it is. You see, we're in a track and field event. This is the real Olympics, by the way. You don't have to go to Peking, China. You can come right here to Sutherland. You can go anywhere. If you're a Christian believer, wherever you are, we are in the Olympics. And the Apostle Paul calls it there in Hebrews chapter 12, the race of life. And we're running this race. And friends, I know we've been running the race for a long time, haven't we? And I know that some of us are getting tired. We're longing. And yet, can you relate to this? I used to be in track and field, cross country. And I always knew what kept me going is because I knew the finish line was just around the bend. I knew it was so close. I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to give up. But we need that extra oil so that we'll have enough in us by His Spirit so that that last 50 yards will get into the finish line of full faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? This is an awesome, awesome time that we're living in. And today is an awesome Sabbath. It's communion Sabbath. It's a time when we will wash each other's feet, a time of renewal and recommitment. Are you ready to say from your heart as you take part today, those who would like to. Lord, I believe that we are living in the last days of Earth's history. I believe that Jesus is coming again. Are you ready to say that? Are you ready to say, I want to be among the servants in your church who are ready? Christ, my righteousness by faith, is my righteousness, my only source of righteousness. And I want my faith in Christ, my righteousness, to work by love. Are you ready to say that? Are you ready to say, I want to be found watching in God's Word, drawing closer, ever closer in a relationship with Him? And are you ready to say, I do not want to be like the other servants who persecute others, who have a form of godliness, who look like churchgoers, who act like churchgoers, but they're running on empty. No Holy Spirit's power. Are you and I willing to acknowledge our need for that extra oil so that we can face the final crisis, that midnight hour crisis? You know, we don't know when that's going to happen. Just as we don't know when Jesus will actually come, we do not know when that actual midnight crisis is going to happen. But we can know this, friends. We do know this. In the light of God's Word, you and I will never make it. We will never make it to the finish line without that extra oil of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith in someone else's righteousness, not theirs, but in someone else's. And that someone else is Jesus Christ, our righteousness by faith. And we're told in the Word of God that as we behold Christ, as we behold Him, the power of the Spirit of God will change us. Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? As you and I take part in the Lord's Supper today, as we prepare the foot washing service, I pray that it will be your prayer and your desire. Christian friends, whether we see ourselves as we are convicted today as either one of the wise servants or one of the unwise servants, I want to say again, I am so thankful for today because we come to Him just as we are. Just as we are. And He is ready to forgive. He is ready to heal. If you are ready and I am ready, are you ready? I know He's ready. I would like to ask that as you take part in foot washing service today, before you wash that person's feet, that together you can acknowledge in prayer, Lord, I need to rededicate and I desire to rededicate my life to You. I am a sinner. I ask for Your forgiveness. Are you ready to say that? And I'd like to ask that before you wash that partner's feet, that you ask them, do you have any special needs? As we come near the close of the finish line, we know the finish line is very close. Ask that person, what are their special needs? As they come close to the finish line, ask them and pray for them. I know it can be very many, very, very special. Children here today, we're so glad you're here. Some of you may go with your parents if you choose to do so. Others of you that would like to have a story, Anita Brown has a story for the children in the mother's room. This is an open service, and that means that you are welcome to take part today, all of you who are here. Couples, there is a foot washing service in our overflow room. Our ladies will be still staying here in the area in the Sabbath school classrooms. Those classrooms there, and if you're not too sure where those are out in the narthex area, you just follow the ladies and they'll lead you there. And the men will go across the way to the Abundant Life Center. And those who remain will have some music in the background as we wait here until we come back together again. God bless you as we prepare for the Lord's Supper.